Then we're back on the scorecard on News Talk 1230 WFAS. I am Chris D'Angelo. Scott Messina, as always, is behind the board. And right now we have a very special guest in the studio, Stefan Lobel, who is the owner of Bluffworks, the founder of Bluffworks. Stefan, how's it going tonight?
It's great. Thanks for having me, guys.
I know you're not the biggest sports fan, but you're a Giants fan.
Die-hard Giants fan,
and I think we're looking all right this year. So before we get into Bluffworks, I have to tell you.
Every single time.
So one of the first nights, NFL free agency was a huge deal back a few months ago at this point. It was like the second
March.
Week where we started the show on a nightly basis. And I don't know if you know Julius Thomas. He was on the Broncos. Peyton Manning made him very good. He was a tight end. One of the biggest free agent signings of the offseason. Scott over here reads a tweet while I'm on the air and says, "The Giants signed Julius Thomas." And I freaked out because I'm a Giants fan too. And you know, if you have a good guy like Julius Thomas, you also know if you're a Giants fan, you know the Giants never sign a big name free agent.
Right,
ever.
Right.
Never sign a big name.
We grow our receivers.
Right. They grow out of the draft. They never sign anyone big. They never trade for anyone big. And Scott tells me they signed Julius Thomas. I go on this whole rant about how they never sign anyone, how exciting it was for Giants fans, how much better the offense is going to be. And then Scott decides to actually read the tweet that says they signed JT Thomas for like $2 million a year. And he really ruined the day.
I really
Scott.
Screwed up.
He really ruined it for
it
any.
It was
so
a classic
Giants,
misread.
So you might be the only Giants fan to have listened or been part of the show since that day, because I think Scott ruined it for everybody. But Stefan, tell me about Bluffworks a little bit, because it seems like a really interesting company.
Yeah, so at Bluffworks, we make a line of insanely wrinkle-free pants. And, you know, the idea is that we have a pair of pants that you can wear in long hours of traveling, stuck in an airplane, biking to work, rolling around on the playground with your kid. It doesn't matter. And you can go straight from whatever you're doing right into the office and still look great.
Hey, we're doing a little Father's Day themed, not so much sports centric, but I guess we can relate it to sports a little bit, because you mentioned you can do a lot of other things with Bluffworks pants.
Yeah, I mean, let's think, like, right before Easter or right before Passover, what do you want to do? You want to throw a football in the yard, right?
Yeah, right.
You got to get out there. That's like the best part of the meal. You get the family together, you're in your Bluffs, and then boom, you know, you go right into dinner and you still look great. And I expect that after that, you're going to wear them on Monday, you're going to wear them Tuesday too. They never wrinkle, they never need to be ironed, and they can go wherever you go.
So Stefan, you're an entrepreneur, and I find it interesting, because we were talking off air. You had you had the day job, and things got, you know, how did you go from, you know, having just a regular day job to wanting to start your own company?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is that the product was inspired by living in Asia. I took a job working software in Vietnam, where I made $4 an hour. And
right.
That was a whole adventure. And while I was there, I was wearing travel clothes, because you're riding a motorcycle to work, and you're in Vietnam, and it's raining on you. And I came back to New York, and I had a real job, and I couldn't wear my travel clothes. And that really bummed me out, and I hated dry cleaning, and I hated ironing. So I decided that I was going to go after a pair of pants that worked better. And I had this idea just gnawing at me, and I used to love software, and my software job just kind of took a turn for the worse, and I wasn't happy there anymore. And that unhappiness, that's the silver lining, right? It's that unhappiness can push you to finally chase one of your dreams. It's painful, but it has utility.
There's so many people out there who want, I think everybody, you know, on your drive to work, and I'm one of them, you always should thinking of, always thinking of ideas. You're always thinking of ways out.
Yes.
And, you know, that's, I think that's, it's healthy. It's healthy to a point, but you bring up the unhappiness, and that's something where that's what drove you. You know, I think that drives a lot of people, but a lot of people don't want to take that step to actually do what they want to do. How did you overcome that initial, you know, that risk factor? I mean, there's a lot of risk involved in doing what you did.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of got a little bit to a do or die moment where I just said, look, I can't stick this job out and support my family. The economy crashed at the same time. So I'm in a miserable job. You know, we live in New York City. Lots of great people are out of work. And you can't just go, you know, leaving one job and expecting you to get to another. So I said, okay, I need to take care of this myself. And either I'm going to stay miserable, or I'm going to do something that gets me to rise up. So I decided to start this company. What I didn't know at the time is that it would take me 3 years of running it in parallel with that software job until I could finally walk away.
So you had to develop Bluffworks while you were at your other job in order to. So, do you feel, looking back, you know, what kind of what would you differently? Is there anything that you would do differently before actually starting BluffWorks?
Yeah, well, so the first thing, you know, the first thing that happened to us is that we launched a project, the product on Kickstarter, and we raised $128,000 on Kickstarter. So that was
let's stop there for a second. What did you do with your Kickstarter that maybe a lot of people don't do? Failed Kickstarter campaigns. What did you do with Kickstarter to really get a lot of momentum going?
People tell me that it was because we were the most passionate about the product. And that just has to come through. I mean, you have to be super serious about what you're doing, and you have to be all in on whatever it is you're putting out. And guys had said, look, you're the first guy who came to us and said, these are wrinkle-free pants that, one, really don't wrinkle, and two, you should wear them a bunch of days in the row.
Right.
And I think, you know, we spent a lot of time putting the video together. I backed a lot of projects before I ever launched my own Kickstarter project. And that's really important because you learn from everybody else's mistakes.
Right, right.
And then this is a big success factor, is you put together a team, because there's just no way that you have all the skills to cover all the angles. And you get people to review your campaign and look at it and review your product and give you that feedback. And based on all that feedback, it gets you to be much stronger and increases your chances of success.
Now, all right, so explain to me with BluffWorks, how do they not smell?
How do they not smell? That's a great question. So like the old polypropylene underwear, like old Patagonia stuff, I mean, it used to just reek. You'd be in the tent and you'd just be dying, right? And new technology, new polyesters, they don't stink. And I mean, you know, Chris, let's be honest, like you should wear underwear under them, right? Like,
good point.
You know, so if you're doing that there you go. So,
gosh, well, you travel a lot. So is that what got you kind of initially to the point where you said, you know, I really want to, like, why not something else? Why pants?
It was because I had a kid, and there I was in New York, and I was facing all that laundry. And I was just like, never mind ironing, never mind dry cleaning. I do not want to be washing my clothes. And that was it. I remember the great pants that I had in Asia. And I said, I'm going to take those technical features. I'm going to shove it into a pair of pants here. And, you know, you're not going to wear a shirt multiple days, right? You're going to switch your polo shirt or your dress shirt anyway. But I just looked at pants and I'm like, we could do this in pants.
So what do we have going on for Father's Day? Are there any special deals going on? Or what kind of pants can people buy?
So right now we have one product, which is our wrinkle-free travel pant. It's got hidden travel security pockets in it, and it's got an iPhone pocket, or I should say a cell phone pocket, doesn't have to be an iPhone, that goes right here in your waist.
Okay.
And the benefit of that is that when you sit down, especially on a hard seat, you know, you're riding Metro North or something, your phone is right there. It's not actually under you, it's on your hip.
Right.
So that's the best thing. You know, We should do a coupon. We can do 10% off on BluffWorks.com. We make the pants in America. We make them in New York City, actually. So, you know, the way our margins are, you know, we're not a large company that can do a half off kind of thing. But 10% off, they're $93 on our site, so it's roughly about $10. And let's just come up with a code now.
Let's do WFAS. Let's make it as simple as possible.
You got it. WFAS. And when you order, you know, if you need express shipping, you know, no problem. Just choose your shipping at checkout, and we'll get them to you for free.
Yeah, we're getting close to Father's Day. All right, let's take a quick break. We're back on the scorecard on News Talk 1230 WFAS. I'm Chris D'Angelo. We got Scott Messina behind the board. Missing intern Gil today. He's not a...
Yeah, I know.
I thought he was coming. I know he's listening. So.
No, he told me last night after the show that he doesn't think he was going to come in today, but he'll see me Wednesday, and he's going to gloat about the Warriors winning tonight, which isn't going to happen.
I don't know. I think I said last night that I thought that the Cavs were going to win, but I don't
you
know.
You did? You
I
told
did,
me
I
it
did.
Was over.
Did I? I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what I say sometimes.
Let's get back,
let's get back to Stephen. We'll review the tape.
Not
after,
Curry. Not Stephen Curry.
No, not Stephen Curry. We have Stephen Lobel from BluffWorks.com. Going back to what we kind of started off the conversation about, very admirable what you were able to do while you had a full-time job. Now, you were doing, you mentioned before that for 3 years, you were working a full-time job simultaneously while trying to build BluffWorks.
Correct.
How difficult was that?
It was unbelievably hard. You know, I mean, the worst moments were when my day job and when Bluff both needed something at the same time. You could throw my family in there. You know, I just have a super energetic 6-year-old kid, and I love to do stuff with him. So you have these three things, and they all need me. And I basically felt like I was doing a crap job at all of them. right?
Right.
So you're just, you know, the way you do it is that you get up early, you stay up late, you chisel a little bit from your day job. You know, you're working on the business a little bit at your day job, and if you have a day job that allows it, then that's great. And you just keep going. You just keep going, and you prepare that your timeline is going to be longer than you expected. And if you do anything for long enough, and you do it well, eventually you'll succeed.
What would you say was the development stages? What would you say was the most important factor in your development of Bluffworks?
In terms of the pants?
Yeah.
It was finding other expertise. I think you got to be very clear on what you're good at and what you're not. And I never learned to go out and sew. And there's entrepreneurs that do that. They're like, I want to make pants. I'm going to go sew.
Do everything.
I'm going to be the expert on fabric. And it's like, seriously? Like, I will never get to the point where I sew well enough that I will be the expert on how good our pants should be for you. We want our quality to be absolutely top notch, so I'm gonna go hire the expert. So that's a really important thing, is building that team. And then the second thing is you have to be open to criticism. I've got, you know, good friends who are entrepreneurs, and I've seen them resist the criticism in their products, and they've ridden that into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be ready. When people give you feedback, you're like, ouch, I wish that part of whatever we're doing didn't stink, but I hear you and I'm going to go fix it.
That seems to me, and I was actually reading something today. I have a friend who works for Bridgewater Associates, and he turned me on to Ray Dalio's principles. I don't know if you've ever read it, or I was reading a little bit of it today. It's fantastic. I mean, I would suggest anybody out there, just Google it. It's like 120 pages, probably take like an hour plus to read. It takes me forever to read, so it'll probably take me a little bit longer. But the driving factor is in that, and it seems like a very common theme from, you know, because I listen to a lot of the podcasts with different entrepreneurs and people who, and investors as well. It's something that has nothing to do with me, but I listen to a ton of them because I find it so interesting, you know, the way people think. And it seems like you have the same idea, where it's, you need to be honest with your flaws. That seems to be a huge thing. Knowing your flaws and being able to admit them and learn from them. That's the big, learn from your flaws and learn from other people's flaws. That seems to be one of the biggest things in starting a company.
Absolutely. And you know, I had many, many ideas other than pants, and still do. And I get excited about the good ones, and I kill the bad ideas regularly. Mm-hmm. And you got to be ready to do that. Don't get hooked on one.
How hard is it to kill an idea that turns out to be bad when you just right out, like, how much do you trust your intuition?
You know, actually, the intuition is important. What's going to happen is that, so I wrote a piece in my blog about the worst response I ever got to a good idea.
Okay.
And it went like this. I told a friend of mine, hey, I'm going to make these wrinkle-free pants. They're going to be different. And he said, you know, do you have 59 other ideas lined up? And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is my idea, you know?
Right.
And he said, and I said, no. And he said, well, I read that it takes the average entrepreneur 60 tries until they're successful. And I was like, so what? I should just pack it in right now and then go fail 59 more times? Like, no way, right? So you have to walk this fine line of being like super committed and believing in it when a lot of people around you might not believe, but don't go so far as to be, you know, as to be crazy about it. And I think the way you do that is you get feedback. So you can be passionate, you can be super excited, but get that feedback from people. You know, make a pair of pants, show the pants to people, see what they think, put it on a platform like Kickstarter, try to sell a couple, and then see how that goes, and then use that experience to make the product better and get the feedback. And that's how I deal with whether or not my ideas are crazy or whether or not they're good.
What'd you do the day you quit your job?
Yeah, so, you know, the day I quit my job, it was so hard working two jobs for so long. I just finally, you know, I had to get back to my adventurous self, and my customers were wearing our pants all over the world, and they were just doing the most awesome things. And we live in Manhattan. You're surrounded by water. It's the closest way, the easiest way to get to nature is to get on the water. So we happen to keep a couple of inflatable boats in our apartment. It drives my wife crazy. And I took a stand-up paddleboard, and I launched it at 5 in the morning under the Verrazano Narrow Bridge, and I rode through New York Harbor. And then I grabbed the subway in Brooklyn, and I got to the corner of 43rd and 6th, and I resigned on the spot, called my boss.
Wow.
And you can see the video online. And the reason I did it is that, you know, I see a lot of entrepreneurs who have great creativity and great ideas, and they just say, yeah, but. It's always a but my family, my mortgage, my car, I can't do that. And I when I needed strength, I thought back to what my family had done before. And my grandfather arrived in New York with a price on his head, you know, through Ellis Island. So you look at that, and I just wanted to connect with that trail of immigrants running right through the harbor, right past the Statue of Liberty, and that's where I've gotten a lot of strength from, and so that's what I had to do the day I quit.
What do you attribute to, what would you attribute to your success? Like, what's one thing that you would just attribute to your success more than anything else?
So it's got to be product. You know, somebody said to me when our Kickstarter did well, you know, what brick would you remove from the wall? If you have a wall that's standing there and that wall is like fantastic and you're happy with it, what brick would you take out? You can't take a piece of it out. It's got to be quality. It's got to be quality just from A to Z. But in terms of getting your product sold, you know, we know that social media and the internet are just huge for getting the word out today. And bloggers and influencers in the space are really important. So the people that review our pants, travel bloggers, product bloggers, and they talk about them and they put them in their gear list, they put them in their packing list, that drives sales and mentions for us.
Right? What advice would you give people who are in a similar situation, you know, to where you were 3 years ago, to where people are at a full-time job, they're unhappy? What advice would you give them?
I think the number one thing is build a team. And, you know, the things that I didn't do early enough is that I didn't round out my team completely. Even though I hired for lots of expertise, like I talked about that sewing, I didn't have a nuts and bolts business person who was looking at like cash flow and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Bluff was taking off and was doing great, but the mechanics of the business are very important. And now I have a CFO and she's amazing.
Anything you change going back to the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, if you watch Shark Tank, I think a lot of people do. You know, they talk about like a small part of a watermelon is a lot better than a big part of an orange, right? Cuban will say that a lot, Mark Cuban. And it was hard to do my day job for 3 years. You know, Bluff had a lot of potential. I could have left sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all have our trepidation and I have family support. So what I would do is I would give up more of my idea earlier. If and when I do my next company, I'll bring other investors in sooner, and I'll share the risk and I'll share the reward.
What's next for Stefan?
Oh wow, I have a long road for products in Bluffworks. Lots of great stuff.
Shirts.
So yeah, shirts are definitely on the table. Our next Kickstarter project starts next week. We're putting out a soft and stretchy, wrinkle-free chino. So your chino is like your regular cotton slack, but this one won't wrinkle, and you can pull it out of the dryer, and it's ready to go straight away. You don't have to dry it. It's almost dry out of the spin cycle itself. It's just a fantastic pant. It stretches and it's comfortable, so that's coming. And then we're working on underwear and working on blazers and lots of fun stuff. So
very cool. Stefan Lobel from Bluffworks.com. Again, Father's Day, we'll do... How can people go to your website and...
Go to Bluffworks.com, and then at checkout, enter the code WFAS.
Very cool. Stefan, thanks so much for coming in. It's great stuff. You know, it's always cool to hear from somebody who, and maybe it's just me. I don't know if it interests other people out there, but I'm sure there's people listening who are just, you know, not unhappy. You know, the thing isn't to, you know, make people self-conscious about what they do on a daily basis, but there are plenty of people out there who work the 9-to-5 job who are just not happy, and they have ideas and never actually pursue them. You know, by the time you're 60, 70s, you know, older, you retire, and then all of a sudden you say, wow, I didn't really get a chance to do what I really wanted. So I think it's really cool that you got a chance to do, you know, create something that you wanted. You know, you were traveling, you created something that you thought would be useful.
Yeah, the risk is worth it. You know, all of our ancestors came here as immigrants with nothing, no cell phones, no safety net. They did it. So, you know, move your safety net a little bit, take on a little bit more risk than you think you can handle, and something great might happen.
Stefan, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.